Hello, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, and founder of the Seek Truth from Facts Foundation. Today's article, audio podcast, and video is entitled Top U.S. Economists Admit Defeat and Go to China with Begging Cup in Hand. Colonial capitalism is getting its butt kicked around the world by many shades of communism socialism. Here we go. This is beyond funny. I've got a couple of articles here I'd like to share with you. It's just unbelievable. The first one is entitled, China's Incredible Growth Threatens American and EU Economies. This first one is from Russia Today. The subtitle is, Beijing's non-market policy should be rebuffed through appropriate countermeasures, Catherine Tai said. Catherine Tai is the U.S. trade representative in Brussels. She said market-based U.S. and European economies were struggling to survive against China's very effective alternative economic model. Here are some of the things that she said. I think what we see in terms of the challenge that we have from China is the ability for our firms to be able to survive in competition with a very effective economic system. The trade official described China as a system that we've articulated as being non-market based, as being fundamentally nurtured differently, against which a market-based system like ours is going to have trouble competing against and surviving. Get a load of this. Tai argued that unless the U.S. and EU figure out a way to defend the way their economies work, we know what's going to happen, and it's going to have significantly damaging economic and political outcomes for our systems. The U.S. trade chief called for defensive policies such as tariffs, as well as measures that are more on the offense, including incentive measures to correct a market dynamic that is not playing out in our favor. She pointed out China's high production of steel, aluminum, solar panels, and electric vehicles as specific causes of concern. Tai admitted that it is China's incredible economic growth that is a factor in the tensions between the two countries, that being the United States and China. And here's the other article in the South China Morning Post. Janet Yellen is the U.S. Secretary of Treasury. She's in China right now. This is not her first trip. The article title says, Janet Yellen in China, overcapacity high on the agenda as Secretary takes swipe at exports. Subtitles, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen brought up excess industrial capacity in first stop of China trip, indicating the likely sticking point in coming talks. Topic was also high on agenda in meetings between Chinese commerce official and counterparts in Washington, with pressure unlikely to let up. Janet Yellen is in Guangdong. My wife and I lived there in Shenzhen for 3 years, 2016 to 2019. Before that, we lived in Beijing 2010 to 2016. And of course, we lived in Beijing from 1990 to 1997. Shenzhen is the second biggest city in Guangdong after Guangzhou, which is the capital. Shenzhen is right across the river from Hong Kong. Yellen met Guangdong governor, because Guangdong is a province, or like a state in the United States or a province in France. Yellen met Guangdong Governor Wang Weizhong, who runs this provincial powerhouse. This province alone has the 13th largest GDP in the world, and China has 33 others. Guangdong hosts one of the biggest clusters of Western companies, including ExxonMobil, Procter & Gamble, and Amway, not to mention Rolls-Royce Aerospace, Rolex, Intel, Siemens, Michelin, Dell, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Nokia, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, and BASF, among many. There are thousands of American, European, Japanese, and South Korean companies, not only in Guangdong, but all over the country. Guangdong is also home to some of China's largest electric vehicle, EV is the abbreviation, EV makers, including Shenzhen-based rising juggernaut BYD. We used to drive by and their headquarters and wave to the logo outside on the outside of the skyscraper. Other Western boogeymen headquartered in Shenzhen include Tencent, which has WeChat and is the world's largest video game maker. Huawei, everybody knows about Huawei, evil Huawei, and then evil ZTE, DJI for drones. China Merchants Bank, one of the 10 biggest banks in the world. Actually, it's one of the 4 biggest in the world. Ping An Insurance and Vanke Real Estate. If you did not read my last article about electric cars, I will include the link. It is really fascinating if you have not. Janet Yellen said at an American Chamber of Commerce in China event on Friday in Guangzhou, and I quote you, "Direct and indirect government support is leading to capacity significantly exceeding China's domestic demand, as well as what the global market can bear. Overcapacity can lead to large volumes of exports at depressed prices, undercutting American firms and workers, as well as those around the world, including India and Mexico. And it can lead to over-concentration of supply chains, risking global economic resilience. China is too large to export its way to rapid growth. If policies are oriented only at generating supply and not demand, global spillovers will result, addressing overcapacity and more generally, considering market-based reforms is in China's interest. This will be a key topic in my discussions with counterparts in the coming days." End of quote. Liu Xiang, a senior researcher at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, said, "Her Chinese counterparts hope to use face-to-face interactions to explain some economic basics." And this is the Secretary of Treasury of the United States of America. China's Minister of Commerce, Wang Wentao, minced no words. Quote, "One fact is the woes of old, outdated production capacity in the U.S. cannot be glossed over by the exaggerated talk of China's EV overcapacity. The U.S.'s less competitive industries cannot be protected by hobbling China's rise in new sectors." End of quote, and I said, responded to that, "That sure sounds right to me." Liu Xiang commented, "Beijing sees its hard-won lead in new green industries as its new competitiveness and won't back down when few excess Chinese products are being sold in the U.S. U.S. concerns are not justified. Unlike the inroads made in Europe by Chinese manufacturers, not a single Chinese EV has been exported to the U.S. They fear once the door is open for Chinese products, uncompetitive American companies can be flooded away." All right. What does all this mean? Alternative economic model, a very effective economic system, non-market-based system, to correct a market dynamic that is not playing out in our favor. China is too large to export its way to rapid growth. Addressing overcapacity and more generally considering market-based reforms is in China's interest. What does all that mean? They want to call it an alternative economic model, a very effective economic system, and non-market-based system. These are just coded doublespeak for communism socialism. That's what's killing Western capitalism. Western capitalism cannot compete on a level playing field with a communist socialist economy like China's. Beginning in 1945, after World War II, the mighty West was only able to create a stalemate with the Soviet Union no more. After the fall of the Soviet Union in 1990, the colonial capitalist West has been able to crush smaller communist socialist countries like Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, Eritrea, DPRK, which is the abbreviation for North Korea, etc. And the list goes on and on. These and many other countries with various shades of communism, socialism, are trying to break free from Western exploitation and enslavement because that is what Western colonial capitalism does. Chinese companies have long-term vision and are happy to accept single-digit profits. Western colonial capitalist countries want double and triple-digit profits. They want to steal it. They want to exploit the resources, both human and natural, in the countries they can control. Western colonial capitalism is robber baron, rape and plunder. Western colonial capitalism cannot compete against Chinese communist socialist economic policies, which Tai and Yellen admitted are, and it is, I repeat, an alternative economic model, a very effective economic system, and a non-market-based system. Of course, China's system is mixed. I've also done articles about this. China is not 100% communist socialist. It's called socialism with Chinese characteristics. Essentially, it is capitalist at the retail level and communist socialist everywhere else in the economy. China was 100% communist socialist from 1949 to 1980 and did very well, by the way, in spite of all the Western big lie propaganda machine vomit to the contrary. I've got a great hyperlink here if you get to the written part, the written article. The only country in the world that is purely communist socialist is, in my opinion, DPRK, North Korea. Thus, this is a gigantic admission from two very important American economists, the need, quote, to correct a market dynamic that is not playing out in our favor. Tai and Yellen are crying uncle, throwing in the towel. They know the gig's up. Western colonial capitalism is getting its ass whipped up and down the global street by Baba Beijing. How pathetic for Western empire that Yellen has to go to China hat in hand to beg that China is too large to export its way to rapid growth. Addressing overcapacity and more generally considering market-based reforms is in China's interest. Meaning, stop working so hard, stop innovating, and be just like us. This is very, very difficult for Westerners to accept. They cannot admit that communism, socialism is better than colonial capitalism, but that's the way it is. This is not new. This has not only been since China became a communist socialist country in 1949. As I wrote in the China trilogy, Chinese civilization has been communist socialist for 5,000 years, as were the vast majority of native peoples around the world before they were destroyed by 500 years of Western colonial capitalism. Not communist in the literal, quote, Karl Marx, end of quote, political sense, but communist in socio-cultural, socio-economic, and governance terms. For millennia, China had 50% of the world's people, 50% of the world's GDP, and 80% of the world's metropolitan citizens, meaning people who live in cities. It has always been the biggest agricultural producer. It has always been the biggest industrial producer. I just did a recent post about science and technology. Dr. Joseph Needham, the greatest sinologist of the 20th century, calculated that at least 50 to 60% of the supposed West inventions and innovation were actually taken from the Chinese. China has been the leader for 5,000 years in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, invention, innovation, etc. I maintain a large database and reference resource on this subject, the content of which is stunning. The historical advantage for China has gotten even more exaggerated because of its post-liberation communist socialist economy. This is why the West cannot compete on a level playing field. The West can only try to crush non-colonial capitalist countries with sanctions, tariffs, and boycotts and blockades. When that doesn't work, they resort to sabotage and color revolutions. Failing that, they next go for military invasion and occupation a la Iraq, Syria, Libya, and other places around the world. Russia is not communist socialist, but it has a lot more vestiges of its Soviet economic model than Westerners want to admit. There is a huge chunk of Russia's economy that is state-owned, meaning people-owned. Their economy is more similar to China's than it is to the United States. Iran, Venezuela, Vietnam, Bolivia, Cambodia, Laos, and others have economic systems more similar to China's than Europe. So that's the story. Chalk up a massive victory for China. Tai and Yellen are asking China to slow down. Don't produce so much. Don't work so hard. Don't be so efficient. Don't be so productive. Be like us. Be whores for global banksters, military contractors, and the pharmament industry, as in pharmaceuticals. Otherwise, we can't compete. The West does not want to do like BYD, the EV car company, in China. It has 100,000 researchers, of which 25% have postgraduate degrees. It is the same story for Huawei's 200,000 employees, who also own the company. All across China, there are thousands of similar examples. Long-term vision, patience, perseverance, sweat, toil, and prospering with single-digit profits. Westerners do not want to do that because it costs money. They want easy, cheap money. They want their money by piracy. They want their money by theft. They want their money by extortion. They want their money by blackmail. They want their money by assassination. They want their money by fake news and false flags. Or like the 1988 and 1997 crashes when Japan and the Asian Tigers were too successful and were getting too rich, currency and market manipulation work wonders to harvest others' wealth. That's how Western companies like to operate because they refuse to accept single-digit returns on investment. They want double, triple, triple digit. Ideally, if they can just steal it and enslave the workers, that's the best model for the West. Of course, another thing is, in Western capitalism, it doesn't work without monopoly, markets, and war. These are two other critical sinofactors. First, China's competition at the capitalist retail level is a bloodbath. The weak can't survive. To prosper, Chinese retailers work their asses off for razor-thin margins on huge volumes. There is even fierce competition between all the state-owned enterprises. Then China is not at war with anybody. The West is at war with everybody, against the whole world. Therefore, China can obviously afford to be much more domestically efficient since they're not trying to occupy the planet. They don't have 1,000 military bases on every continent on planet Earth. China is not trying to destroy Russia via Ukraine. China is not trying to destroy West Asia via Palestine. Western colonial capitalism needs war and invests heavily in war at the expense of its people, societies, and infrastructure. You can't have guns and butter. The West loves guns. The Chinese love butter. Well, maybe soybean oil instead. This is why China is winning the fourth industrial revolution. The Chinese are investing massively and are on the vanguard of AI, robots, 5G, Internet of Things, cloud computing, data analytics, and the space race. Baba Beijing has invested trillions of equivalent dollars, euros, in super efficient, extensive infrastructure, which is why no other country has its supply chain integration, logistics, and communications. For you, my dear reader, listener, watcher, all of this is food for thought. I understand your Pavlovian gut reaction to communism, socialism, that for you, it's so depraved. It's evil. You've been brainwashed since your mother's womb. Thus, I understand and empathize with you because I was the same way until 56 years old, until I was 56 years old. Nonetheless, the evidence is all around you. First, it's clear that a country so big as China can just blow off all the West sanctions, tariffs, boycotts, and blockades. Second, Russia is another anti-colonial capitalist country that has prospered with all of this horrible pressure that the West is applying on it. Third, even smaller countries like Venezuela and Cuba are surviving. Iran is very socialist and surviving the West's onslaught. Bolivia is surviving. Eritrea is surviving. Vietnam is thriving. North Korea is thriving in spite of all the massive pressure. Criminally, Western sanctions, boycotts, blockades, and tariffs kill millions of people around the world every year. I always say that sanctions are genocide. The West kills a lot of people in these countries without firing a bullet, yet they survive and often thrive. Just like Russia, communist socialist countries are doing much better than what the West's big lie propaganda machine regurgitates day after day. Imagine where they would be socioeconomically without trillions of dollars, euros, being sucked out of their economies by the West's undeclared war on them. Better than the crumbling, imploding West, that's for sure. In closing, the West is going down the tubes because it wants to hang on to its colonial, capitalist, imperial, robber baron, piracy, theft, rape, plunder, and war model to control our pale blue dot. Westerners are governed not by, quote, elected, end of quote, leaders, but by the City of London, Wall Street, military contractors, and the farmament industry. After 500 years of being exploited and enslaved, the rest of humanity is strong enough and more organized with BRICS, SCO, CELAC, NAM, ASEAN, to adopt various shades of communist, socialist, socioeconomic policies that support the people, not their 1%. The real losers are poor Westerners and their vassals like the Philippines, Japan, and Korea. Thank you. This is Jeff J. Brown signing out. Have a wonderful day.